At 11 p.m., according to the WMFO digital clock, you are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. Now at 11:02, according to that very same WMFO digital clock, you are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Belinda, and this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. It's 2 plus a little bit more of the silliest hours of radio programming imaginable on this Saturday evening. All the silliness you can stomach, all the silliness you can shake your stick at, and we have been double-dong-daring you since 1990, no matter how cold it gets, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank, coming up in around about hour and 20 minutes or something like that? Let's just call it the 12:30 hour. Why not? It'll be time for the radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days and weeks. But until then, you know us. We have silliness for you, the listener, and we like to give it to you as best we can, even during these very stressful times of the year when it's all about the family. And dealing with the family, and worrying about the family, and family, family, family. It's what this time of year is all about, isn't it? Right here, at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Mama's in the kitchen. Mama's in the kitchen. Mama's in the kitchen, but we've got pop on ice. Mama's mixing mustard.
Mustard?
Mama's fixing hot dogs.
I love them hot dogs.
Sizzling dogs. Mustard with pop on ice. Good night. Bunch beer, root beer, strawberry, lemonade, lime, and cherry, orange, pop, sarsaparilla. Me thinks I'll take vanilla. Mama's in the kitchen.
And the kitchen.
Mama's in the fridge. Mama's in the kitchen, but we've got pop on ice.
strawberry, lemon and lime, and cherry, orange, pops and sarsaparilla. Me thinks I'll take vanilla. Mama's in the kitchen. Mama's in the kitchen.
Ah, kitchen.
Mama's in the kitchen, but we've got pop on ice. Poor mama's baking biscuits. Poor mama's boiling rice.
Beneath
the climbing higher on the kitchen door fire. Pop up is cooling off on ice. Mama's in the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
Mama's in the kitchen.
Kitchen.
Mama's in the kitchen, but we've got pop on ice. Oh, mama. Oh, mama.
Who's the dummy writing this show?
My mother is 166 years old, has tits and two legs and two arms and a good set of teeth. She weighs 166 pounds. That's a lot of weight for a woman. 168, 170. Sometimes she gets up to 200 when she eats a little too much. She's kind, and very graceful. Very pretty. She's not like I am, homely. She's a very pretty girl. And she eats everything I eat.
Potatoes, roast beef, roast cabbage, peas, string beans, carrots.
She drinks plenty of water, about a quart a day. A quart to 2 quarts.
Four quarts to a gallon.
She drinks a gallon every day. A gallon isn't too much, enough to drown, but it's only enough to drink. You could drink a gallon and not think a thing about it. We're made up of water, exactly 8 gallons. You didn't know that, did you? 8 gallons of water to a human being.
I'm so mad at my mother. I don't know. She's 102 years old. She called me up the other day. She wanted to borrow $10 for some food. I said, hey, I work for a living. So I loan her the money. I have one of my secretaries take it down. And yesterday she calls me up and says she can't pay me back for a while. I said, what is this bullshit, huh? So I worked it out with her. I'm having her work on my transmission. And if she can't fix that, I'm having her move my barbells up to the attic. The whole thing.
Ocean blue. The admiral's daughter is after Davy and his dinghy too. She first saw Davy in a big parade, a show of strength that the Navy made. There were subs and cruisers and all the best, but Davy's little dinghy stood out from the rest. Ship ahoy, sailor boy, don't you get too springy. The admiral's daughter waits down by the water. She wants to ride your dinghy. She's built as big as a battleship. Davy says he'd have to make two trips. Let her go ride with the other guys. His dinghy's no good for a gal that size. Ship ahoy, sailor boy, don't you get too springy. The admiral's daughter waits down by the water. She's out to grab her dinghy. She's made up her mind that he must get caught. His dinghy has got to sail into her port. She won't let it rust, 'cause she knows the score. Oh, you can tell she's had a dinghy before. Ship ahoy, sailor boy, don't you get too springy. The admiral's daughter waits down by the water. She's out to grab your dinghy. She ruined her first mate, I understand. He wound up with his anchor dragging in the sand. Since Davy heard she's headed his way, he's got a life preserver on his dinghy night and day. Davy thinks she'll try sabotage, so he's devised a little camouflage. Everyone says it's a real slick trick. He's got it painted red and white like a peppermint stick. Ship ahoy, sailor boy, don't you get too springy. The admiral's daughter waits down by the water. She's out to grab your dinghy. Just got a flash from the naval base. the big maneuver, it just took place. She finally grabbed him by the pier. He got in too deep with his landing gear. There was quite a battle, there'll be hell to pay, 'cause he sank his dinghy, singing anchors away.
He'll present a golden dollar to the father of the twins. The preacher's eyes are glistening, and he's thinking of a christening, 'cause the stork has brought his son and daughter for Mr. and Mrs. Mickey Mouse. A million, million people are happy, bright and gay. Bells are ringing in the steeple, it's a public holiday.
your mother and your wife are drowning. I want to know which one you would be saving. If your mother and your wife are drowning, I want to know which one you would be saving. Well, for me, I'm holding on to my mother, and my wife, she will have to excuse. Kitchener, I can always get another wife, but I can never get another mother in my life. I heard some men saying around the corner that they rather their lawful wife than their mother. Ask them the reason, this what they answer. They can romance their wife, but not their mother. Well, my wife can be flourishing in poor and gold, but my mother comes first in this blessed world. 'Cause I can always get another wife, but I can never get another mother in my life. There is a quarrel with you and your mother. She may be mad, but still consider over the matter. Don't care how hasty that your mother may be, she will never try to make that little talk so lengthy. But your wife, from the time you have a row with her, she gone with somebody to America. So I can always get another wife, but I can never get another mother in my life. What I got to say openly, to compare your mother with your wife is crazy. Your wife is like a little lamb in front of you. She pretend to be loving, reliable and true. But go to the bathroom to sponge your face. When you return, another man in your place. So I can always get another wife, but I can never get another mother in my life.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. And yeah, that was about a half an hour, I'm sure. I'm sure of it. But that doesn't mean we don't have tons of silliness left to go. And you know, I should probably take this moment to remind you that coming up in no time, I mean no time, because it's freaking me out right now, it'll be time for the Bee's Knees. It's the next of the nicely scheduled episodes of Bubbles in the Think Tank. You know you gotta have them. We like to have a little bit of a calendar anyway. Just a little bit. But the Bee's Knees, they're coming up on January the 9th. So you're gonna want to stay tuned to Bubbles in the Think Tank and your freeform radio station, WMFO, all the way until that day and beyond. So you can hear the Bee's Knees. It's the records, well, whatever, the music I have purchased or acquired in the year of 2020 that I thought was good enough to call a bee's knee. I think that kind of wraps it up in a bow there, doesn't it? Yes. Yes, it does. So you'll want to stay tuned for that, because I'm going to be feverishly listening to everything I got this year. All the way up until then. Trying to put it all together for you. Hopefully you'll then support some of those artists and let them know that Bubbles in the Think Tank sent you. Because we love them. We want them to know that you love them too. And with that, let us return to the silliness with something that could possibly be in the Bee's Knees. Who knows? Right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Well, I can still remember the smell of my uncle's old car. Felt so safe and warm in there when he would drive me near or far. My uncle's old car has a spacious roomy trunk. Fits his bag of crazy costumes and music making stuff. He got so many CDs and empty windows. Wendy's cups. I felt so warm in there and I just can't get enough.
I wish I was riding in my uncle's old car. Well, I can still remember you pick me up from school, take me out for pizza, maybe to the pool. I like the way his car smelled on hot days, not so much. Something in his ashtray not supposed to touch.
I wish I was riding in my uncle's old car. They don't understand. They don't understand. Didn't mean to startle you there, son.
The wheels.
Yep.
The seats.
Uh-huh.
The tunes.
I guess.
The smell.
Well, sure.
The lights.
So bright.
The seats.
Again.
The sun.
Oh,
can't be beat.
No, sir.
I wish I was riding in my uncle's old car. I wish I was riding in my uncle's old car.
Well, come on, better get home.
How long is it gonna be?
Might be a while.
I'm tired.
I don't care.
I need a snack.
No, you don't.
I gotta pee.
No, you. Well, yes, you did.
What's this here in the ashtray? Yeah, what's that?
That just get your hand off that.
Why?
Just let it alone. It's your mom's.
All the things you did when you used to be a kid.
Teenager's mother, don't turn gray. Think your Johnny is gone astray. Why would I stop to roll and rock? You know it's not a sinful way. Teenager's mother, are you right? Teenager's mother, are you right? 'Cause the same thing that's worrying is the same thing you used to do yourself. That rockin' music you call bad was just about all Johnny had. But with a shout, you threw it out, and so you made your Johnny sad. Teenager's mother,
are you right?
Teenager's mother,
are you right?
'Cause the same thing that's worrying is the same thing that used to. Did you forget so soon how much you love to do Charleston? And when you were young, out on a date, didn't you ever come home late? Now we won't say who's right or wrong, but here's the moral of this song. It can't be bad. It makes you glad, and you are only young so long. Teenager's mother,
are you right?
Teenager's mother,
are you right?
'Cause the same thing that's worrying is the same thing you used to do yourself. Do yourself. 'Cause the same thing that's worrying is the same thing you used to do yourself.
Yourself. Do yourself.
This little thing I wrote for the killer Jerry Lee Lewis. He never did it, but we did, so that's a shred on y'all now. This little thing called Second Cousin.
Second Cousin.
cherry tree. And when she calls position, well, you know I gotta make the team. Well, she's my second cousin from the two old Bible side. Say that love in her is that fly. Well, she my second cousin from the two old Bible side.
Here to talk to you in the vein, which I know you enjoy, requires at least 3 or 4 days of Jekyll and Hyde type preparation. Starting last Sunday with a complete rereading of George Jessel's book. Then on Monday down at CBS Television City, going into the men's room and writing dirty words on the wall. Tuesday, I knew I was getting into the mood when my children came down to breakfast, and I called them all little sons of bitches to say. This morning, when purely ad lib, I phoned my mother-in-law in San Diego and told her to go fuck herself.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller, and I want to talk to you about something that's really serious. It's heroin and downers and hard drugs. You take it from Maurice, the space cowboy, the gangster of love, baby. Don't do it, and you'll be a lot healthier and a lot happier, especially you.
Once upon a summer sidewalk, there was this little ant whose name was Smith. Aunt Smith had been working hard in the grass all morning long, doing what ants do when they're working. But now it was afternoon, and he was making his willy-nilly way across the warm cement, feeling the heat of the sun under his many little feet. Everything was wonderful in Aunt Smith's universe. Until he looked up, and right above him he saw a huge, monstrous, buzzing fly, whose name was Smith too. But Aunt Smith didn't know this. He only knew that he hated the fly because the fly could fly. He couldn't fly. He wasn't a flying ant. And there were other differences that led to his prejudice. So you can imagine how Aunt Smith felt when out of the corner of his runaway eye, he looked back and saw this huge hand arc through the air and capture Fly Smith and destroy him. Aunt Smith stopped in his tracks, chuckled quietly to himself. How was he to know that that hand's foot would step on him? And how was Mr. Smith to know that he had just killed two Smiths? Aunt Fly Smith.
Was a great gal, Hoagie.
Who was, Cassie?
Grandma Teeter Totter.
Well, what did she do, Cassie?
What did she do? Why, ain't you here? Grandma Teeter Totter took herself to the fireman's ball. Grandma Teeter Totter had the best time of all. When she danced the polka, someone hollered loud and bold, Grandma, you ain't ever growing old.
Grandma Teeter Totter with a rose in her hair shouted, boys, play hotter, I'm a-dancing on air. Then she grabbed a preacher who said dancing was a sin, spinned him till his coattail split the wind.
Grandma Teeter Totter danced the length of the floor. Just then Grandpa entered through the crowd at the door. He was full of tonic from a nursing of his knee. Grandma passed him by with a high whoopee.
Whoopee, yeah. Grandpa Teeter Totter with a frown of dismay told that fancy trotter she had best hit the hay.
That's right.
That's when Grandma shouted with a twinkle in her eye,
come up and see my etchings by and by.
Grandma Teeter Totter took to the punch bowl again.
Again?
Drank up more than she oughter. This is what happened then.
Grandma grabbed the fiddle, grabbed it from the leader's hand. Plato promised me to beat the band.
Grandma Teeter Totter heard him shouting her name. Saw a gray-haired lady dancing her plumb to shame, picking up her heels so high that people stared in awe.
My!
What's up, Cassie?
'Twas my great-grandmother, my grandma's mother, Grandma Teeter Totter's father's ma.
Grandma Teeter Totter looked around for a spell. Saw that pole hole in the floor they call the fireman's well. Next thing we knew, Grandma was a sliding down the pole,
no.
Shouting fire, fire, fire in the hole.
Grandma Teeter Totter brought that ball to a close when that dancing daughter had him drag out the hose. Now she's proud 90, but the story still is told. Grandma Teeter Totter ain't ever growing old.
You're watching the taping of the highest rated game show in television, woman.
My mama let me stay home from school that day. Neighborhood pals, Patty Gooney, and Cha-Cha made their mamas let them ditch also. It wasn't every day that someone in the neighborhood was going to be on national television. Not just someone. My sister, Ultra Dream of a Teen Mentor. We laid out carrot sticks, Funyuns, poured Dr. Pepper into glasses with round ice cubes. I brought out a tray of my famous cheese bologna rolls, then sprawled my 11-year-old body on brown, low-cut carpet. Everyone came to our house that day. Neighbor Nosy Nelly for once snapped her blinds shut and actually came out of her house to watch the action. Fat Fabiola, my mother's second cousin, took over the lazy boy and asked,
"Is this all the food you're gonna have? Your daughter's gonna be on television and this is what you serve?"
Charlie Romero, Patty's dad and the tallest Mexican on the block, dragged himself in with last-minute debated jealousy. Since he was over 6 feet tall with a really good voice, he felt if any Mexican deserved to be on television, it should be him. Back in his college days, he had the starring role in the student production of The Pearl. He was a star of the neighborhood, until now. Our 19-inch television set flourished in Technicolor and brilliant sound, taking over the whole living room, drowning out our excited chatter. The show my sister was going to star on was beginning. We ignored opening credits, first batch commercials, and all other bit players until finally my mother announced the time had come and my sister was going to be introduced on the air. Can you imagine her own introduction on national television?
And
with back slaps and high fives, my sister side stumbled in chunky Cherokee sandals past fellow audience members to make her way down that rust-colored aisle. Our TV screen glowed with viewer-at-home excitement. My sister was now a part of Contestant Rose. Her left breast was covered with a large, proud yellow name tag. Her face flustered red, pluck-arched fishwire brows that made her look chola. Feather Farrah hair and lips I knew had three layers of cherry lip balm. She was all I wanted to be someday, especially the part being on television.
Let's have a look at the first item up for bid.
The first item to bid on was a deluxe extra heavy duty large load capacity washing machine. Nosy Nelly said,
"Ooh, that's a fancy one. That's like the one Emma on the street behind me got. I happened to be out in my garden when right then and there, I could see through the crack in the fence that she was getting a new washer and dryer. I just happened to be right out there, and then I see those delivery men lugging them in. She must have gotten to another big fight with her husband. Oh, God. Your sister's not going to know the price of that one."
Nosy Nelly was right. She wouldn't know the price of such a lavish home appliance. We went to the laundromat. A brunette Bob Barker asked my sister,
"Yvonne, give us your bid."
And she guessed $1,000. Because Mama always said, as she'd carry her load up the steps to Laundryland, "God, I'd give $1,000 to have a washing machine right now." And now my sister had bid $1,000. After all the other contestants made their bids, Bob Barker announced that it was not my sister, but someone else who would be getting the shiny brand new deluxe washing machine. But my mama said all was not lost and that my sister had at least two more chances. Next was a microwave. Fat Fabiola yelled out,
"Oh God, she's gonna lose that too. What's with your sister? Didn't she watch the show before she went on? Doesn't she know the prices of things? She should have went on Wheel of Fortune. Beto-san went on that show and he got lots of nice things for his mother."
My sister again bid $1,000. And again she bid too high. Stupid neighbor friend Patty Romero stuck her elbow in my stomach and asked,
"What's with your sister? Is she too high? Get it? Get it?"
The last item my sister could bid on was scuba gear. The announcer explained,
"To explore the fascinating world of underwater, including tanks, regulators, snorkels, backpacks, and fins."
We couldn't remember the last time we had went scuba diving. We were dead. She was gonna come home with nothing. Charlie Romero, the tall Mexican, said,
"Oh, that's like what I used when I did Lincoln High's version of the man from Point Doom. I wore fins just like that. Man, I should be there on television. Your sister, her body movements are all wrong. She's not bidding with assertiveness or confidence. Any actor knows that. That's why she's losing. She doesn't have the confidence of a winner."
My sister bid $1,000 and lost out to the woman next to her who bid $990. Fat Fabiola yelled out,
"She's coming back with nothing. She's never going to get to the showcase showdown. All the way to L.A. and she's coming back with nothing."
But Fat Fabiola was wrong. My sister did get something. One month later, a large brown box arrived at our house filled with consolation prizes. But they didn't console us one bit. We were the embarrassment of the neighborhood. We got a lifetime supply of Hawaiian Tropic suntan oil. And she got a royal blue white stag jogging suit, which she had asked for in her white boyfriend's size, who later really did go stag, and left her to sell at a future garage sale. But the best was a Betamax video cassette recorder. We were the first one on the block to have one. Nosy Nelly came over to see it and said,
"Thank God you got that machine. Thank God. Now the next time your loser sister is gonna be on TV, we can tape it like everyone else in the world."
But we didn't care what anyone said. We felt wonderful knowing that Betamaxes would be around for a long time. We felt somewhat like cutting-edge pioneers in that mid-70s video technology revolution. We plugged it into our 19-inch screen, and for months letting the 1200 flash on the lower right-hand corner, we bragged and bragged to neighbors and friends about that day my sister was on television.
He was the nicest 18-year-old cousin a girl ever had. She was the nicest 16-year-old cousin a boy ever had. As a matter of fact, they were loving cousins. Loving cousins. From time to time, they kept reminding each other they were cousins and weren't supposed to do things like that. It was all fun and games in the beginning. What fun and what games. Loving Cousins, produced by Carlo Ponti, combines the fun of Summer of 42 with the excitement of Lolita, all wrapped up in the talents of new star Susan Player. Loving Cousins, co-starring Academy Award winner Hugh Griffith from Independent International, rated R for adults. Loving Cousins. Cousins are supposed to love each other, she said.
Grandma, show us your tattoos. Tell us all about those painful piercings. When you were young, you always knew the trendy thing to do. So, Grandma, please show us your tattoos. Tell us all about how you met Grandpa at that fetish ball. All those little hooks. Yeah, that was way back in the aughts, but we still wanna know. We're not sure that we believe our history books. Grandma, show us your tattoos.
proud to tattoo or adorn ourselves with pins or little cuts. But Grandma, won't you take us to that parlor with a needled I love spike right on your butt? Grandma, show us your tattoo. All about those private piercings. When you were young, you always knew the trendy thing to do. So, Grandma, please show us your tattoos.
Everybody with a split tongue.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la. Always do the trendy thing to do. So, Grandma, please show us your tattoos.
Come on, Grandma.
Grandma, please show us your tattoos.
Grandma, is that a flying prune?
Grandma, please show us your tattoos.
Oh, it's a butterfly? Sorry.
Grandma, please show us your tattoos.
WMFO in Medford, stereo.